Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by OSCA Wellness, the coolest new product in pain relief, the Tough Man Triathlon Series. RunCatalina.com, Catalina Eco Marathon coming up on Saturday, November 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $75 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or check us out on iTunes. Our next guest is the author of A Back on Track. Her name is Fiona Ford. She just took third at the Ironman Triathlon World Championship, her first race back since a pretty horrific accident. Fiona, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you, Bob. How are you?
I am great. So you're just back home after a pretty fun week in Kona.
Absolutely, yeah. Just landed this morning. I've been away for 2 weeks, so it feels like a long time.
So, Fiona, take me back. Growing up, what were your sports?
So growing up in Australia, I was into horses and competing at three-day eventing, so another multi-sport event. And then at university, I actually rode race horses as a part-time job, training thoroughbreds,
wow,
that sort of thing. So the need for speed was something that I really enjoyed from quite a young age. At university, I did do a bit of cross-country running, but I didn't really use my own steam power until I got to London, which was 18 years ago.
So really not, you really didn't have that endurance in terms of running, cycling, swimming. You didn't have any of that background?
No, not really. I mean, we did swim growing up because my dad was a surf lifesaver. So I think growing up in Australia, swimming is part, you know, of your DNA, really. But it was mostly ocean swimming. It wasn't really anything particularly structured in the pool. And I loved, you know, the open water very much. I think in my family history, there is a national level cyclist on my mother's side. So there was some cycling interest there, but I never really took it up until quite late.
And so when did you find the sport? So did you go to London for university, or was that after?
No, that was for work. I had a teaching degree, and mm-hmm. there wasn't any work really in Australia when I graduated, so I went to London to utilize that qualification, and it was only meant to be a short-term thing, really.
And then you can go there for a little while. Next thing you know, it's 18 years later.
Yeah, indeed.
So, and while you were there, you found triathlon.
Yes. So I was running marathons when I first came to London. In my sort of teaching world, there was the London Marathon came right past our school doorstep, as it were. So I did marathon running for about 3 or 4 years and got a championship qualifying time. I wanted to sort of go good for age and then be able to do the championship women's start, you know, where the elite women go off. And then once I did that, I sort of discovered that I was a bit bored with the single dimensional sport, and somebody suggested I should do triathlon. So I did and never looked back. Absolutely loved it.
What I love is in it was a 2006 year, you win age group championship, right? And
yeah.
Chrissy Wellington was the first age grouper, and you were the fifth age grouper.
Indeed, yeah.
That is so fun. And now, did you know, is that where you met Chrissy?
Yes, yeah, I did. I knew of her leading up to the event. Good friend of ours, Tim Weeks, was her coach, and he'd sort of said, you know, keep an eye out for her, she's going places, and I'd sort of seen her on the qualifying race, because I think we both did the same qualifier to go to ITU World Championships in Lausanne that year. And then, of course, you know, she put in a fantastic, astonishing result on that that race, and I had the race of my life as well, and we were both interviewed afterwards, you know, and we were both world champions, and then next thing, you know, fast forward the clock a year later, and there we both were on the
clean
pace. She was going one way, and I was going the other. So
yeah, and you, at that point, she's racing as a pro, you're still racing as age grouper.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I kept my job, and, you know, she gave up her job and went professional full-time, and, yeah, it was wonderful to see.
Then, so when you're running back on the Queen, or running out on the Queen K Highway, and you see this woman who...
In the lead.
Yeah, well, and I was doing the commentating, and we had no idea. She had won Korea, and we had no idea who she was. She, like, no visor, no sunglasses, smiling, kissing babies. You're like, who is this woman? And she's killing all the time. And none of the pros, very few of the pros knew who the heck she was.
No, no, exactly. It was a wonderful surprise to clock, you know, that she was leading the race. I did the maths, you know, it was sort of an hour up the road on me, and you sort of extrapolate that out from 2-3 minutes over Olympic distance the year before to an Ironman race, and yeah, as I say, you do the maths, you've got plenty of time to think about it in the energy lab.
So, and then you, like you said, you qualified for Kona, you did Kona, and you raced that as an age grouper. How'd you do as an age grouper?
I was top 10.
Way to go.
So that was good. You know, I guess the first time you go to Kona, you haven't really got any idea how brutal
None.
The race is.
Yeah.
I loved the heat. I think growing up in Australia, I didn't find the heat a problem. It was just managed to injure myself going up Palani on the bike coming
That's
out of transition.
Right.
I was trying to avoid an accident. Someone had fallen over and on their bike, and I managed to sort of lift my bike over the top and get out of the way, but in doing so I managed to hurt my piriformis, so I rode the whole 100 miles with a really uncomfortable, painful piriformis and didn't really put in a particularly good bike, but managed to get the pain under control and ran a great marathon, so I was happy. You know, I didn't have any expectations. The first time I went, I just wanted to experience the World Championships, and I knew from stepping up at Olympic level, Olympic distance triathlon, you know, that it is a different class altogether when you go to a World Championship. So,
I was going to say, you ran sub 3:30 there. That's pretty impressive.
It was great, yeah.
Well, and then now after that, did you decide to go pro?
I did, yeah. I sort of had raced a few Ironman races and finished top 10, and I spoke to my coach at the time, Spencer Smith, and, you know, he was supportive and said, well, you know, obviously you're going to be what's called a neo-pro, a pseudo-pro, because I had no intention of giving up my full-time day job. But
sure.
I thought, well, if I'm going to finish top 10, I might as well have a crack at earning some prize money and enjoying a different start. And while I sort of had this idea, you know, I only had a couple of years really to do it because of the age that I was, late 30s, I thought it's now or never. Let's just give it a go. And as I say, my coach was supportive, so we went for it.
Love it. And then you, 2008, Ironman Western Australia, 9:56, 8th place. Challenge Roth, 9:54, 10th. Challenge Vichy, 10:42, 4th. So you're being very, very consistent. And then I know in June of 2012, you're just out for a ride on what was going to be the Olympic cycling course in London.
That's it, yep.
And tell me, take me through what happened.
So, yeah, it was just a very ordinary ride, you know, coming back from a Surrey Hills ride, we call it. You can all go around the hill, sort of course, Box Hill. And I was just approaching I was riding along a very straight stretch of road, quite a fast stretch of road, slightly downhill, and could see a car waiting in the side road to the left, waiting to turn out. Couldn't see the face of the driver, but trying to make eye contact. And as I drew level with the car about 2 or 3 meters from the junction, he, you know, worst nightmare scenario, pulled out.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, had this deja vu, and it is a real cliche, you know, when you sort of say it, the moment in time just stops and suspends itself, and
sure,
you've just got loads of time to think about what you're doing. But I managed, you know, sort of instinctively to avoid hitting the car. I didn't want to hit the car,
right.
And I guess you spend hours on a bike, don't you, training, and
right,
you realize if you're going to hit the car and then hit the road, that's two impacts. You're likely not to survive. If you can manage to just get away with one impact, then
exactly,
you're halving the chance of it. But so that's what I did. I managed to put the bike into sort of an emergency braking situation. I didn't really use the front brake. I just tried to use the rear brake and aim for the back of the car, hopefully, you know, hoping a gap would appear. And, of course, it did. But at the speed I was traveling and the proximity to the car, you know, my bike basically lifted off the road, the back wheel lifted off the road. And when I did hit the road, I'd managed to avoid the car, but I landed on my right side. And you know, that was where I sustained all my injuries, was by hitting.
Yeah. Well, you a right collarbone, your pelvis, your sacrum was broken. I mean, when you got to the hospital and after the injury settled down a bit, what was the prognosis from the doctors?
Well, it was a really interesting few days, I guess, because you dosed up the eyeballs with morphine and goodness knows what else, so
yeah,
you're not really aware of what's going on. But, you know, they came in, they did decide over the course of 3 days they weren't going to operate, which I was sort of relieved about. But they did take a long time to decide that. And then the next thing they sort of delivered was, you know, these are serious injuries, multiple injuries. You know, you're lucky to be here. And, you know, your running days are over, your competitive days are over. You know, you definitely won't be running any more marathons.
Wow.
And, you know, I just remember not being able to absorb the information because it seemed like they were miles ahead of me. All I wanted to know was whether I was going to be able to walk again.
Sure, yeah.
That was, you know, completely broken through the middle, unable to move. And so it was a bit of a bizarre situation, really. And, yeah, I still to this day, even when I was running the marathon in Kona last weekend, you just, it's a real sense of disbelief.
Yeah. So when you change your goals, obviously, from running this pace or cycling this pace to, can I stand up? And can I stand up for a minute? Can I stand up for 2 minutes? As an athlete and as a coach, I'm guessing that you adapted to that. That, you know what, this is my new triathlon. This is what I need to do right now. And you can't think about where you're going. You got to just focus on where you are.
Exactly, yeah. And that is very much a staying in the moment, asking yourself those questions. What more can I do at the moment in this time and space? And yeah, it was a massive adjustment, but I didn't ever feel frustrated. And I think every single athlete that came to visit me that, you know, looked after me in that period, and all my friends and family, you know, all said the same thing. You must be incredibly frustrated. But all I felt was just total, you know, sort of gratefulness for the fact that I was still here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was making progress. It didn't matter how small the progress was. It was, you know, being able to stand up and walk to the door, even if it took me half an hour to walk 5 meters. It was such a massive achievement. You know, I was getting there.
What was there a point, because this is a long process, was there a point where you felt like, you know what, I think I can, I might be able to, and again, you're not thinking I'm going to go become a top age group or I'm going to be a pro. You just want to be able to get your passion back, what you love to do back. Was there a point where you felt that, you know what, I think maybe I can do a triathlon again?
Yeah, it was last year.
It's just last year.
Yeah, just last year. And I guess, you know, coaching athletes, that became my relief. I was living my life through my athletes, really. And that was great. I felt totally satisfied. I was really motivated. I was very, very happy to watch them progress and do it, you know, deliver on all their goals and get their PBs and everything. And it was really just last year when I realized in training, I was training at a level, especially in the swimming side, you know, training at a level that, and sustaining a level that was faster than I used to be able to swim. And that's just simply because I'd spent the past 3 years in the water pretty much.
Because you didn't have an option. You had to be in the water. Right, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so I did it as a graduated thing. I did a swim race. I'd done some cycling sort of events, and I'd done a, you know, an Alps tour where I'd taken my clients from Geneva to Nice over sort of all the mountain passes. So I knew I had my cycling legs, and it was more the confidence anyway on that side. But then the running, I spent the entire winter after last year doing my comeback race, just an Olympic distance, you know, event, one of the headline events here, Windsor Triathlon. And I just put it all together without any kind of structured training, you know, exactly going against all the advice I'd give as a coach. It was just more or less just jump in and see what happens. You know, you're certainly in physical condition to be able to get around.
Right. And you won your division by 12 minutes.
I know. It was crazy. I mean, it was just, I was so far
that's
ahead
so
after
cool.
the swim.
That is so cool. That is so cool. So, you know, again, that's 3 years after the accident. 3 years after the crash, June 14, 2015, you do the Windsor Triathlon. You win your age group by 12 minutes. There has to be, you know, as you're coming towards the finish of that, almost a sense of, I can't believe I'm back, and this is so awesome.
Yeah, it was emotional. I think every finish I've done, actually, has been. I've had to fight back emotion at some point, you know, during the race, and it's usually in the finishing straight where I'm very close to losing it.
Yeah.
And Windsor was a long finishing straight, so I was really trying to hold it together because my old coach, Steve True, was commentating, and as soon as I heard his voice, you know, it's instantly recognizable to me. It just flashed me back to all those fantastic performances that he guided me to, you know, when I was racing as a, you know, ITU world champion. Very emotional.
So now that you've gone through all this, do you appreciate it more? Is the racing, the training? Because a lot of times when we're age groupers and neo pros, it sometimes it almost becomes a job, right? Oh, I got to get my ride in, get my run in. But when you go through something like this, sometimes it makes you realize how lucky we are to be able to swim, bike, and run whenever we want and wherever we want.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's the real beauty of it. It's you just don't take anything for granted. It's, you know, every session has, you know, this magic about it. You know, right. When I get in the pool, it's just hitting those times or exceeding the times, getting faster. It's just fantastic. And same with all of the runs. You know, every single run I do, I'm just so happy to be out there running on my legs without too much pain, you know, and the hips getting stronger every time, you know, every sort of training phase that I do. So, it's just great to be pain-free. I think when I woke up, you know, it was probably about 3 years after the accident, I suddenly woke up one morning and went, hold on a minute, there's something missing. And it was just the fact that my back wasn't in pain. My hips weren't in pain. And I just couldn't believe it. It was like someone had given me the best Christmas present ever, that I was suddenly pain-free. And, you know, that was just, it's pretty much how I feel now when I go training.
Yeah, what's fascinating about that, I remember talking to, you know, a number of folks who've had, you know, hip resurfacing and things like that. And one of their comments is, you don't realize how much pain you're in until it's gone.
Until it goes.
Until it's gone. You know, it's like every day you just sort of deal with this. There's this dull ache that you deal with. And then one day you wake up and it's like, oh my God, it's gone.
Vanished.
Yeah. And you just feel like this is unbelievable.
Yeah, like a superhuman. It's fantastic. Yeah.
So the book, Back on Track, what were you thinking about this from the very right after the accident, or was it something that sort of percolated over time?
No, well, it was more a case of the process. I think as I went along looking for, you know, experts in rehabilitation to help me through the process, it became really obvious to me there wasn't a lot of sport-specific advice out there. It was all quite generic. You know, have your 10 physiotherapy sessions for this part of your body, and then off you go. And it was just replicated for all the different injuries I had. And there wasn't anything holistic that was taking a look at me as an athlete and saying, okay, well, this is joined to that, and that's affecting this. When you move, of course, the entire thing changes. So I just found that, you know, there was so much education that I had to do for myself, which I did, and just finding experts to help me that had that expertise was gold dust. So I had to find a way of recording that. And so when I got to the end of the process, I think I was actually approached by Meyer and Meyer about writing a different type of book, which was actually more for swimming. And in the end, I provided them with a brief of a few different ideas that I had, and they ran with the Back on Track straight away. And that was the last one on the list, because emotionally I didn't really think I was ready, nor was I fully out the other side of the recovery process. But it was a sort of a germ of an idea that needed to, as you say, percolate. And I guess I had the whole year to write it. So, you know, it solidified over that time.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm sure that when people have a crash like this, and I'm sure doctors look at it, you know, people are in a car crash and they hurt their pelvis and they hurt their side, but they're not necessarily athletes. They're just trying to get back to daily life. And so is the idea of your book that, hey, you're an athlete, this is how I came back? Because a lot of times the doctors, if something hurts, it's just take drugs. It's just take prescription medication, which really makes it difficult to go out and ride, run, swim, and do the things you need to do. So is this sort of a little bit of a brief on, hey, as an athlete, you just crashed. Here's what I've learned through my experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I wrote it in mind because of the amount of people I met that weren't athletes, that had active lives, you know, whether they were hiking, walking, you know, people who live in the mountains. I went over there and I found some fantastic experts, you know, physiotherapists that, you know, dealt with more extreme sports on the ultra running side. And they were able to guide, you know, some of my running comeback. But it was more for, you know, active people as well as athletes. It was a, you know, quite a broad reach, really. Just anyone who's out there doing, you know, an active life, once that's taken away from you, you just don't realize, you know, how your quality of life suffers so much.
Is the medical community, are they more in tune with that now? Or do you think that they're still sort of following the old procedures of more of the sedentary population? You're injured, let's get you back so you can sit around, watch TV, and get to your car and go to work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very much how it is here in the UK.
I'm sure it's the same here.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, you were absolutely right with the medication side. You know, my personal experience was I didn't really have any guidance to come off the medication.
Right.
And of course, it becomes highly addictive, and if you've never been addicted to anything, you don't really understand what's going on when you start
right.
to have the withdrawal symptoms. And, you know, they are powerful. And, you know, opiates are very, very
yes.
powerful medication for the right reasons, of course. When you're badly injured, you may need that to get mobile. But once you're at that point where you're able to move and then you understand that pain is your friend in a lot of ways, you
yes.
have to find that pain every day and work with it in order to rehabilitate, then, you know, obviously following doctor's instructions just to take more drugs is not going to be the answer.
Exactly, exactly.
So I turned to things like hydrotherapy, which was incredibly effective at managing pain, you know, and fitting that in or scheduling it in after a training session so that the pain that was initiated from moving would be alleviated by the warm water and the mobility in the hydrotherapy pool. So there were other alternatives to just reaching for the drug packet, really.
What other alternatives did you look at and did you put into practice?
So, yeah, the whole sort of chapter 10 of my book was written, and that was an afterthought, again, after talking to the publishers, was to put, you know, this practical guide together of how to use, you know, different strategies, really,
uh-huh.
and they all involve some sort of mobility.
Right.
So the aqua running, you know,
yep.
obviously I wasn't able to run for a number of years, and running in the water is just so effective at strengthening up the hips and all of the, you know, weight-bearing muscles that you use on the land. And then obviously the return to a jog program, being able to walk a bit, jog a bit, walk a bit, jog a bit, and gradually increasing that up until it's a continuous, you know, jog for 20 minutes. The hydrotherapy, all the movement ranges that you can do in the hydrotherapy sort of environment. And then, of course, then finally progressing to cycling, but maybe more indoor cycling in my case because of the confidence issues being back out on a busy road.
How hard was that, getting back on the road for the first time?
Oh, God, it was incredibly hard. I still can't, you know, believe how difficult it was when I rode past the accident scene for the very first time by mistake. You know, I didn't mean to, but I was on autopilot, and I just rode out that way and suddenly realized I was on the road to riding straight past the accident.
Oh, my God.
So that was a bit of a wobbly day. But yeah, starting off in the safe environment, you know, on a watt bike or an indoor trainer, you know, in your gym or at home on your bike. And part of my therapy was also just being able to look at my bike again, the one that I had the accident on, and having it in the home environment because it had been put in my garage and looked after by friends for about 6 months, you know, after the accident. I hadn't seen it. And it was just that incredible wonder around how the bike had survived so well and I hadn't. you know, if one of you
it's
comes
made
off
metal.
Bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was part of it as well, just being able to sit on that and turn the pedals. But it was just too uncomfortable to begin with, so having to make those adaptations to saddle and bike setup and bike fit, you know,
sure.
going and having a retool fit and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's comprehensive. All the strength and conditioning, all the functional work that you do on a daily basis, you know, waking up and going through all those functional strength exercises before you actually even get out of bed. It's just
right.
such a great way to activate, you know, the whole body.
And the other aspect of this is, it's not like when you crashed, it's still this is an open road. It sounds like you're fairly lucky you didn't get run over after you crashed.
It was close. It was so close. I mean, the friend who was with me,
Tanya,
who's a physio, Tanya, she's still traumatized by it. You know, and we talk about it, and we have only just recently thoroughly talked about it. You know, sort of. Last year, and she said, you know, I had no awareness, but she said, you know, there was a number of cars that came past within, you know, centimeters
inches.
Of my head.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I'm a very lucky girl. I do not take anything for granted, that's for sure.
Oh, gosh. Well, Fiona, first of all, congratulations on just being back, just being able to ride, run, and swim again, and being out in the fresh air and understanding that you've been, you're blessed. You're very, very lucky that you are where you are. But more importantly, I think that there are people crash every day.
Yeah.
And the problem is we put our lives in the hands of the doctors who prescribe medication and aren't athletes and don't understand what we need to, what we really need to do to recover. And sometimes it's avoiding medication to a certain degree. So thank you for putting the book together. I think that's going to be very helpful for anybody out there who has had a crash, is dealing with it now, has a friend who's dealing with it. The book is called Back on Track by Fiona Ford. And Fiona just went to Ironman and swam 101, rode 557, ran 338, and took third in her division with 10:46:53. Now, how does that time compare to when you went over there before? Was this the second time you've done Kona?
It was, yes. Yeah, I did Kona in 2007, 9 years ago. And I went a little bit quicker. I think it was about 4 minutes faster this time around.
This time, so, after the accident.
And at my age, it's fantastic.
That is awesome, Fiona. Well, that sort of shows that you're back on track.
Absolutely. Full circle. Yeah.
Now, with your athletes, I'm guessing that a lot of your athletes have gained from this as well. Because when they're questioning, I don't know if I can do this workout, they see you on crutches, they see you hobbling in and out and running in the water. There's nothing duller than running in the water. You know, when you talk about hydro, I can do 12 seconds of that and I'm out.
I love it.
Oh, my God. You are the toughest person I know. Running in the water.
Well, you just need the right tools. That's all.
What do you do?
You need the right tools, you see. You have to have a tempo trainer and,
yes,
you know, you're working to the rhythm of the beat and that sort of thing. It passes the time just as fast as a turbo session or an indoor trainer session.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'd go out of my mind. But do you find that your athletes have been motivated by this as well?
Oh, look, the feedback's been amazing through the whole process. You know, they, from just the very early days, I had a whole group of them rally around me and provide a rota to, you know, check in on me three times a day, take me for a walk, help me with my food and everything else around the house that I couldn't do, to now, you know, where I'm training with them again. I'm back out in the Alps riding with them on training camp, or I'm swimming with them, riding with them, running with them, and then, of course, racing alongside them. I had two athletes racing at, I had three athletes racing at Kona.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, I mean, I guess if they've come along recently, if I've only been coaching them for a couple of years, they didn't see me when I was quite badly injured. So I don't think they understand the gravity of, you know, the comeback quite as much as the athletes I've been working with for a long time, who have just been astounded. You know, they just cannot believe that I podiumed the weekend.
Well, that really is a great message. So, Fiona, is the book out now?
It is. It was published last October.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, and I think, you know, Meyer and Meyer have got it distributed everywhere.
Love it. And the book is called Back on Track, and the author, Fiona Ford, has come all the way back from a horrific accident and just podiumed at the Ironman Triathlon World Championship. Fiona, thank you for taking so much time, and congratulations on Kona.
Thanks so much, Bob. It's been great speaking with you.
Oh, always a pleasure. Fiona Ford has been our guest again. The book is called Back on Track. We are brought to you by OSCO Wellness, the Tough Man Triathlon Series. Run Catalina.com, Catalina Eco Marathon coming up Saturday, November 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $75 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.